again. We've been talking about our Lord's parousia and the in the chapter of the manner of our Lord's second advent, and we discussed at quite at length the different translations of the different translations of the word for presence, and we discovered there were only two that translated it accurately, and Matthew 24:27 wasn't one that was translated accurately, and thinking of it was translated coming, and that just led to a lot of confusion for our nominal friends. They don't realize that our Lord is present. It's only those that have been looking for him and understand the what our Lord taught his disciples and us with the signs of his presence and how we can recognize them. So let's look at the first paragraph on page 160 and have that read. I'm going to have somebody online read that. And let's see here. Jim Shucker, it's nice, Brother Jim, it's nice to see you with us. And would you read that for us, that first paragraph on page 160?
On page 150?
160.
Oh, I was going to say,
sorry if I didn't pronounce it.
160. Okay, just a minute here. Let me get it. Starting because?
Yes, please.
Because of their disposition to mix the closing events of the Jewish age or harvest in which they already were with the then future harvest, or end of the gospel dispensation, our Lord gave quite a detailed account of events which must intervene, indicating a lapse of a considerable period between, yet giving no clear idea of its length. For even he did not then know how long it would be, Mark 13:32.
Thank you. Any thoughts you'd like to? Any comment on this paragraph?
I don't have anything offhand that I can, no.
Okay, I'm sorry. Didn't mean that. That's fine. Okay. Would anyone? Thank you, Brother Jim. Anyone like to comment on what's being brought out in this paragraph as far as the events that needed to take place in the harvest? Mr. Nimi?
I have a question more than a comment. Mm-hmm. What does this mean by because of their disposition to mix the closing events of the Jewish age? What was that mixed disposition? Or
I think it really applies to they weren't sure what I think what's being brought out here is that they weren't sure that it, they didn't realize it was going to be as we talked about last week, they didn't realize our Lord was talking about what would take place during the gospel age. They thought they were looking for signs would take place in the Jewish age. Sister Margaret, you have a thought on Sister Nimi's question, and then Sister Sharon.
Yeah, well, they had, I'm getting an echo.
Okay, I'm gonna.
Well, I was thinking particularly of Acts 1, 6. They came together and asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were expecting things to happen right away, and because they'd had the various parables, and because the wheat and the tares, and because before that the chaff, and they had no concept at all of the length of time, which really was a blessing in many ways. But so they were expecting things to happen very quickly according to what they'd learned from the master, but took the Holy Spirit to enlighten them in more detail. And I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Margaret. Sister Sharon.
Sister Margaret covered it, and also the Acts 1:6.
Okay. Anyone else? Or Brother Bill? Or Sister Donna? You're muted, Brother Bill.
I'm just zeroing in on the word disposition. And I think it's just saying that the early apostles and disciples were inclined, or they had a tendency, to apply everything happening in the immediate time frame that in which they lived. So it just refers to a tendency of their thinking, an inclination of their thinking to do that.
Thank you, Brother Bill. That's what I was thinking, a preconceived notion, really. Three others raised their hand. Okay, Brother Igor, and then Sister Sharon Fifield.
Thank you, Brother. To the comments already made, the question Sister Nimi was asking, well, what was the mix-up there? So it says the mixing, the closing events of the Jewish age with the future harvest. And I was reading the paragraph, half of the paragraph above, on the same page. They asked, what shall be the sign of thy parousia and of the end of the age? So they were mixing those two going to happen at the same time. Thank you. Over.
Very good, Brother Sam. Thank you. Sister Sharon Fifield.
Well, my issue was I couldn't remember who there was, T-H-E-I-R, their disposition. And we're talking about the apostles and the disciples, right?
Yes. That's who our Lord was speaking with.
Okay. Because I forgot who there was. Okay, that did it. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Well, does that help, Sister Nimi? Well, you're muted.
Yeah.
Oh, there.
Yes and no, because
yes,
we talked about the disposition, the mixed disposition. You know, they probably were confused. Now that when I read the whole verses there in context, Jesus was actually speaking about the future harvest, which is gospel dispensation. And now, in the end of the paragraph, it says, yet not clear of its length, for even he did not then know how long it would be. He didn't know then, but of course we all know he knows now. I think this was confusing them, so that is why this paragraph says they had a mixed disposition. Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Of course, our Lord knew the details. He just didn't know the length of time, as it brings out in Mark 13:32. Maybe we should have that read. Maybe Brother Jim Tower would read Mark 13:32 for us.
Mark 13:32. But of that day and that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. Oh, Brother Jim, would you read 33? Read the 33rd verse as well.
Take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jim. And Brother James.
Yeah, I think Brother Russell gives them a little bit more credit than due when he says, because of their disposition to mix the closing events of the Jewish age or harvest, which they already, I don't think they understood that there was a harvest going on in the Jewish age. I mean, yes, Jesus did it, tell them that, but I don't think it sunk in, you know, like many of the things that he told them, they really didn't understand. They were still, you know, while they were here and while Jesus was with them, they were still thinking things are going to wrap up with him. So they weren't looking much further than their particular lifetime. They were thinking the kingdom is, you know, practically about to be established now. Over.
Thank you. Yeah, I agree, Brother Jim. I think that's the, as Brother Bill brought out, they were expecting it to happen immediately. Yeah. What the signs would happen immediately. So let's look at the next paragraph and we'll get more, expansion on this. So maybe I could have, let's see, does everyone have it? Brother Igor. Someone? Amanda?
Where's Amanda?
Our Lord's reply in verses 1 to 14 covers the entire gospel age, and his words in verses 15 to 22 have a double application, literally to the close of the Jewish age and figuratively to the end of this gospel age, of which the Jewish age was a shadow. Verses 23 through 26 contains words of warning against false Christs, and in verse 27, he reaches their being his parousia and declares, properly translated, as the bright shining, the sunlight, cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the parousia, the presence of the Son of Man, be. The sunlight becomes present instantly, yet noiselessly, and it is first discerned by those who are first awake.
Thank you. Thank you, Amanda.
Well, and I,
as we know we're talking about Matthew 24. Yes, but go ahead, Sister Amanda.
Well, when I read this properly translated, of course, we've gone over the translation of parousia. But what I have noticed when he's talking about the bright shining, and he says the sunlight, but all the translations keep showing it as the lightning. And so there have been translations since Pastor Russell has brought all this light, and so I just wonder, why are all the translations still saying lightning when sunlight is so much more applicable? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for the question. Anyone like to explain this? Brother Igor.
Probably answer very short, Sister Amanda. I think the point is that the translators, the people who translated, didn't have the Holy Spirit. And if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you actually don't understand exactly the meaning of what you translated, what you are translating. I think that's the direct point. Over.
Another hand in the room. Thank you, Brother Igor. Is there another hand in the room?
Yeah, me.
Sister Chris?
Yeah.
Sister Arlene?
Well, when you read the scripture, it doesn't make sense that lightning comes out of the east. Lightning can come out of the east, but it can come from any direction. But only the sun rises in the east and sets in the west. So why they translated lightning does not make any sense, because, like, as I said, lightning can come from any direction.
Yeah, and notice how the last sentence reads that the sunlight becomes present instantly, yet noiselessly. Usually lightning's accompanied with thunder, right? And this is just the whole illustration of how the presence of our Lord would be gradual, and like the sunlight when it comes up in the dawn, in the morning, it gradually lights everything up. Brother Igor, or?
Hey, Brother Bill. Also, when you think of the concept of lightning, it comes as a flash. It flashes, and then it's gone. Whereas when you have sunlight, it starts slow, it builds up, and it illuminates the whole earth to the point where everybody can see everything, which is why the Lord used that particular phrase for us, because we're gradually learning what it's going to be like in the kingdom when the whole world is going to learn about the truth. And lightning would not show that, because lightning is there and then it's gone.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Chris. Sister Sharon.
Bill, if we go back to page 156 in our second volume here, I'm going to start the first paragraph. Yeah, 156, yes. Let's see. I'm going to start probably, okay, I'll start at, and another instance of the use of the word astrapi by our Lord is found in Luke 11:36, where it applies to the brightness of a candle, and in the common version is rendered bright shining. Incorrect ideas of the manner of our Lord's coming and revealing firmly fixed in the minds of translators led them into the error of translating astrapi by the word lightning. They supposed that it would be revealed suddenly like a flash of lightning, like Sister Chris said, and not gradually like the dawning sunlight. But how beautiful is the figure of sunrise as illustrating the gradual dawning of truth and blessing in the day of his presence. Over.
Thank you. Thank you for that review, Sister Sharon. And that explains the illustration that we have, and how the translators had incorrect ideas of the coming. So they of our Lord's presence. Sister Margaret.
Yeah, the question as to why, I was just looking at the Strong's definition of, it's the Greek 796. It says from 797 lightning, by analogy glare. So it's only because of our understanding more now, that we understand that isn't even the correct word according to Strong's definition. So it would be understandable if Strong says it's lightning, you know, that they didn't even give it more attention. That's my thought. Thank you.
Sister Margaret, Sister, or Brother Brad.
Well, I just, when we looked at this a couple of weeks ago, we were, taking note that, that the same word, astrape, is translated lightnings correctly in Revelation on four different occasions. Same word, astrape, but it's correctly because it's associated in those texts in Revelation with thunderings. So thunderings and lightnings goes together pretty well. It's not a wrong way to translate it. It's understood by the context. And as was brought out, the context that we're looking at in our scripture here is to do with the sunrise, as the east and the west has been already brought out. So I think maybe just the translators, who knows, maybe they were looking at these Revelation texts and thinking that they really associated more closely with the Lord's return, therefore thought it was proper to translate it lightnings. But I think as we appreciate the way that, you know, the way that astrape works here and the way that it's from the rising of the sun in the east and growing brighter, that is an acceptable and perfectly right way to translate it. But they were kind of, as Sister Sharon read, they were kind of stuck on their idea, I think. And, well, that's why we really have to be careful about translations, I guess, is kind of the lesson to be learned there. They are individuals who are exercising their knowledge of the languages and so forth, but we have to understand, as was brought out by Brother Igor, that the Holy Spirit may not be as well at work with them, even though they have some scholarly training. Over, Brother Bill.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Brother Brad. And you brought out how important the, to consider the context of and how the word is being used in the context and the surrounding words, as well as thinking about the illustration, the accurate illustration of our Lord's presence. Brother Igor, and then Brother Jerry.
Well, if we understand that we're living on the day of the Lord, where we live on when He is present, it's okay to read the history to see what was 100 years ago, or maybe 150, 60 years ago when the actually physical light was discovered, and electricity, I mean, right? What about our life? How we was able to see slowly the things growing up? I'm speaking about the knowledge, the wisdom, all these steps. The last one was AI, so far what I know, probably other things around the kids know better. But what I'm saying is, it's increasing in our lives. You see how it goes? So that's the day of the Lord. That's the time when Lord is present and He's working. What is it? It's gradually. Right? Over.
Yes, a gradual enlightenment at the beginning of our Lord's presence. And Brother Jerry has a thought, and then Brother Bill or Sister Don after that. And...
Okay, Brother Bill, I find this question rather interesting of why do the translators so render it the word itself. Maybe this is just a case of where we are in the English language as well. The word lightning, generally relate to that strike of electrical discharge and so forth. But the word itself simply means lightning, of a brightness, a bright shining, of which lightning is, or also the sunrise is. The word does not literally mean the rising of the sun, but it means shining forth. And it's basically like saying, we would say in English, just as the shining forth of the day comes from the east to the west. And so our minds say, oh, that's the sun. But the word is just as the shining, the brightness of which in some context it could be a strike of electrical discharge. In other cases, it could be like the rising of the sun. In this particular case in Matthew, because it says from the east to the west and the gradualness is indicated in that shining. So when someone, I don't know how it is in other languages that this is translated in Matthew 24:27, but the word lightning probably has multiple meanings, but I guess we jump to the conclusion that it means a electrical discharge, and that we say, oh, that's confusing because that's not so. But the word literally just means the shining. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. That's very helpful. And again, thinking as Brother Brad brought out, it's the context of this scripture, the light from the east to the west. Brother Bill or Sister Donna?
I like this comment in the expanded comments, reprint 348. Not that he will come like lightning, but that he will be like the lightning after he has arrived and is present. So the flashes of knowledge that have come at the return of the Lord. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Donna. And there's another hand in the room here. Brother Tim? Oh, it's Brother Sam.
Thank you, Brother.
Yeah, Brother Sam, go ahead.
Thank you. So listening to the comments, I think there is our Lord has brought this up differently in few other instances. So we're taking up those different instances because in Luke 17 verses 24, we see that this is slightly rendered slightly differently. Where it says, as the breaking sunshine, no, I don't know how the King James Version reads, if somebody can read it. Luke chapter 17, verse 24.
Okay. It says, for as the lightning, the lighteneth out of the one part under heaven, shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day.
So it's rendered slightly different. Our Lord doesn't talk about east or west, but rather a gradual shining up the sky. So just maybe our Lord did speak it differently in different instances. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Sam, for that. Luke 17, 20, 24. Okay, Mr. Amanda, does that our discussion help with your question? That was a very good question.
Oh, sorry. Brother Bill, yes, it does, and I appreciate so much all of the answers. And this is actually right at the time when I started digging deeper, needing more from the volumes and really getting into them. And so I joined just at the right time. And I appreciate knowing or hearing that the Holy Spirit has so much to do with it and with the manna, how it's important to be perceptive and to the Holy Spirit's nudging. So I thank you all for your wonderful help in that understanding.
Thank you. Thank you, Sister Amanda. Okay, let's look at the next paragraph. I think we'll have somebody in the room read it. Maybe Brother Ramil would read that for us. leaving other intermediate features?
Yeah, I found it. Leaving other intermediate features of our Lord's discourse for examination in their appropriate place. We note his second reference to their question regarding his parousia in verses 37 and 39. He says, as the days of Noah, so shall also the parousia, presence of the Son of Man be. That the comparison is not between the coming of Noah and the coming of our Lord, nor between the coming of the flood and the coming of our Lord. The coming of Noah is not referred to at all. Neither is the coming of our Lord referred to. For, as already stated, parousia does not mean coming, but presence. The contrast, then, is between the time of the presence of Noah among the people before the flood, and the time of the presence of Christ in the world, at his second advent before the fire, the extreme trouble of the day of the Lord with which this age ends. Is that good?
Thank you. Thank you. And, wow, there's a long paragraph that explains, but let's consider this paragraph. And we have a hand from Brother James. You're muted.
Another place that is interesting in how the translation of the word coming is found and is related to the paragraph here, really, is in Matthew, Second Corinthians 7, starting verse 5 and through 7. It says, for when we arrived in Macedonia, that word arrived is the Greek 2064 Ethiopian. I'm not sure I pronounced it right. But, okay, when we arrived in Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were pressed from every direction. Conflicts on the outside, fears within. But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the arrival of Titus. Now, some translations have it arrival. Some translations have it coming. Okay? The word is parousia. It's the presence of Titus. He's not saying that Titus came after he came. He's saying Titus was there when he got there. Notice he starts out verse 5, when we arrived in Macedonia. Okay? Titus was there. That's the point. That's the idea of parousia. That's why he's using the word parousia here. And then verse 7, and not only by his arrival, again, parousia, but by the comfort he had received from you, he told us about your longing, your mourning, and so on. The idea, though, is he arrived, okay, in Macedonia, and Titus was there. He was comforted by Titus being there, not that Titus came after he came. All right, so if you read the context, it's really telling you Titus was there when he arrived himself in Macedonia. Over.
Thank you, Brother James. And we know that the word parousia is not translated properly, and here we understand the what's being brought out context. 2 Corinthians 7, 5 through 7, and then okay, so thinking of what Brother Russell's bringing out here and the comparison with Noah and what was going on then at the time before the flood, what is being illustrated here? What was taking place during during that time with Noah building the ark? And Brother Igor?
Matthew 24, it's actually the verses from what we have in the paragraph 37 and 39. And I think the idea is that what was happening on the days of Noah, that they were eating, drinking, marrying, and so forth, pretty much will be the same. I mean, it is right now the same. People are there, have their lives, their things, and the Lord is present. So they're not noticing that the Lord is present. They know something that somehow the Lord will magically appear in the sky, pretty much. That's it. That's their thinking. So this is actually what the comparison, how we compare these things over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Igor. And from Brother Brad and then Brother Jerry.
Brother Bill, I'm just thinking backwards a little bit to our previous paragraphs. And it cited for us Mark 13:32, because in our King James, let me just get that real quick back up. In our King James, it comes across, it says, of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So that's the Mark 13:32. And then we look at the Matthew 24, and it's the same explanation, but it leaves out a word. It says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But the more reliable manuscripts include neither the Son. So that's a good thing to note in your margin, because the more reliable manuscripts have Matthew 24:36 reading the same as the Mark 13:32, or even other translations. I think even just looking at like the New American Standard, let me just check. I think it does. Yeah, it says Noah the Son. So even in some of our more commonly used translations. So the point that I just want to take notice of, though, is that we're looking at this as an explanation, and a very good explanation, that it was in the days of Noah, in his presence, that he was preaching, and the people were unaware of what was coming. They didn't know. That's the point that Brother Russell's stressing for us here about the comparison. Not that Noah would be coming, but that he was there, present, preaching, and that there was a coming flood that they were unaware of. And so he's saying it's like that in the days of the presence of Jesus at his second advent. He would be dispensing truth in the harvest truth message, and people would be being taught about his presence, but they would be unaware of the coming destruction that was near upon them. That's the point that I think the paragraph's making. So when we look back at this Matthew 24 again, a little bit in the context, I find it interesting because we're stressing the point of Jesus's presence before the coming time of trouble. And he's saying, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, neither the Son. It's something yet future, even though we're talking about his being present there. I'm not explaining this very clearly, but I think what I'm getting from it is that what day and hour knows no man, neither the angels nor the Son, but the Father only, has something different to do than the presence of Jesus during the harvest, doing the harvest work. It's more a comparison to before the breaking of the time of trouble and its climactic outcome. So I'm really having a hard time explaining this, but maybe you're understanding what I'm trying to say. I think that what he's trying to tell us in that verse in the Mark 13:32 has more to do with the completion of the church. And that is what the Lord Jesus himself still doesn't know. That's why this verse fits there, neither the Son, because it is the Heavenly Father that selects the church. It is not Jesus. It's the Heavenly Father. Hopefully it was not too confusing. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Brad. And I was thinking of the way you explained it, that it was during the presence of Noah when he was building the ark. People didn't believe him when he said there was a flood coming. They probably thought he was crazy and just went about their daily business. And that's the way it is with us now, because we have the Holy Spirit and the understanding of our Lord's presence, we have the understanding, but others don't recognize it. And that's how it was in the days of Noah. They didn't believe him. And some of those we witness to don't accept what we say. They aren't sure as well. Brother Jerry.
Well, I don't want to repeat what Brother Brad has said. It was very helpful and I think clear. Maybe just adding one point to, and no, not even the Son. Jesus spoke this when he was still here in the flesh, before his crucifixion. I have no doubt that when he was raised and all power was given to him in heaven and earth, that then he did know. He knew the date, the time, and the sequence of how long it would be before the return. So at the time he was speaking, I think that it was not given these details, and he didn't want the disciples troubled with saying that it would be 1,800 years or 2,000 years. You have to wait. Other than that, this point of introducing Noah, it, to me, is quite interesting. Besides just the word parousia, presence of Noah, which is obvious, he was preaching. I think that Jesus was also drawing some parallels between those days of Noah before the flood. There was pandemonium, there was deviations, there was all kinds of social problems in that society, and even the infestation of angels controlling society. So I think there are some parallels also. While this pandemonium is going on and was going on then, people did not know, and it was well said already, that they heard Noah, but they didn't make any sense or they didn't believe it. And then the flood took that generation and world away. So I think there is also a parallel in our times. Jesus is present, orchestrating the events, the message of truth going out before the flood of events removes the old systems and society of deviation. So I think besides the presence, there is this parallel of the likeness of those days while Jesus has returned and the removing of the old as well. Over.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Jerry. Very good thoughts. Very, very helpful. That comparison of what was going on before the flood and all the reason for the flood to remember the words in Genesis talks about our Heavenly Father I can't even remember the terms, but he was very upset with the evil that was going on that was created by the fallen angels. And we're in that day of trouble. And it, like you said, it's a very strong parallel. And that's what our Lord was, teaching the disciples. Well, brethren, I think that we'll probably have to end this study. We don't have time to get into the next long paragraph. So let's mark our books on page 161, beginning with, "And though the people were wicked in Noah's day," and well, Brother Bill will take up with that next week.